as we were inspired to hear about the pastimes of a departed Vaishnava. Today is also an opportunity to hear about the pastimes of a departed Vaishnava. As Narottam Das Thakur says, Ye Sangha Napaya Khande. Without this association, Narottam Das simply weeps. So, just as the passing of Tamal Krishna Goswami brought tears to the eyes of many of his god brothers and god sisters, not just disciples. Similarly, the passing of Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was an amazing Vaishnava, it brings tears to our eyes, or a sorrow in our heart, that we could not have met such a wonderful person. So we chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivinoda, and these Panchatattva you can now see in Ljubljana. Very beautiful deities, and also painted very nicely. You can see them on Ljubljana's web page, and I hope there will be many nice photos coming soon so that everybody can worship them. But Srivas is, of course, an incarnation of a devotee and a very intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Navadvip Leela. So, Srivas Thakur had three brothers, Sripati, Sri Rama, and Sri Niti. And one of his brothers had a daughter named Narayani. So Narayani was about 4 years old when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to hold his nocturnal or nighttime sankirtans in the house of Srivas Thakur. So he would see this young girl, 3-4 years old, the niece of Srivas Thakur, and he would call out to her, chant the holy names of Krishna. So this little girl, receiving this instruction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she would cry, "Oh Krishna, oh Krishna," and then she would faint in ecstasy, and she would lie on the ground and tears would stream from her eyes. So it was obvious that she was a very special person. And in fact, many times Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would eat at the house, take his prasadam at the house of Srivas Thakur, and this little girl, Narayani, she would very often, like a young child, but just somehow attracted to Mahaprabhu, she would request the remnants of his prasadam. And Mahaprabhu blessed her many times and gave her whatever she wanted from his plate. So because she received all of these blessings, it is said that because she received that prasadam from the lips of the Supreme Lord, therefore she became the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. She was married in a village outside of Navadvip, a village named Mamagachi. And while she was pregnant, carrying Vrindavan Das in her womb, her husband died, and she became a widow. And she became very poor. She lived in a very simple room, and she was a maidservant in the house of Vasudev Datta. So her child was born, Vrindavan Das. He was born just about the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And he was a very precocious child, meaning he was right from the very beginning very learned as a young boy. He started his education. And when he completed his education, he was about 19 or 20. And at that time, Mahaprabhu had been in Puri after taking sannyas. He didn't return to Bengal. He went on to Puri. And therefore, Vrindavan Das did not have that much direct association with Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered his aprakrita lila, his prakrita and aprakrita, meaning manifest and unmanifest. In other words, a Vaishnava does not die per se, but a Vaishnava appears and he disappears. So it means that he manifests his pastime somewhere else. So Mahaprabhu, although he disappeared from Puri, but that was not the end of his lila, because his lila is nitya lila, eternal lila. So simply he continued his divine pastimes somewhere else in the universe, in this universe or another. But Vrindavan Das met Nityananda Prabhu, and he took initiation from Nityananda, and he later wrote the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which he called, first he called it Chaitanya Mangal, but there was another book by Lochan Das Thakur called Chaitanya Mangal. So the Vaishnavas decided to call his book Chaitanya Bhagavat because he was practically the incarnation of Vyasadeva as a, in respect to Chaitanya Lila. And you will find in Chaitanya Bhagavat that there are many, many stories that are not there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita is, of course, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's book or writing. He wrote extensively about the philosophy, the Siddhanta. Everybody got their information from Swarup Damodar, Mahaprabhu's servant, and from Murari Gupta, who kept notebooks just like we have our Hari Sauri. I'm sure everyone has seen or heard of Hari Sauri's diary. There are three books now and four, and there's another one coming. So he actually kept a diary of, he spent about 2.5 years or so with Prabhupada. So he didn't chronicle the entire life of Prabhupada, but just in 2.5 years he has 5 books to tell us about Prabhupada. So that's very nice. In fact, I remember Hari Sauri telling me the story how for his second book he had called up one scholar to write the foreword to his book, and that scholar had known Prabhupada from right in the beginning in 1966. Had followed the activities of Prabhupada and his movement throughout all the years. So when Hari Sauri asked him to write a foreword to his book over the phone, the man laughed. He said, "The Christians have a few books telling the activities and pastimes of Jesus." He said, "The Mohammedans have maybe one book or 2 books. He said, "But you, Hare Krishnas, you have a book for every day in the life of Prabhupada." But he did write the foreword. So, similarly, Murari Gupta kept these diaries, or kadachas as they're called, and from that Vrindavan Das got his inspiration, and of course from Nityananda Prabhu, his spiritual master, he heard so much about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, in the beginning of Chaitanya Bhagavat, the very first chapter is the glories of Nityananda Prabhu. And practically speaking, we should understand that our spiritual life begins when we accept one of Krishna's devotees in disciplic succession as our guru or our master or our link. That is the real beginning. Everything else is leading up to that point where we accept someone. Now this acceptance may be a formal diksha, which is of course the best thing, but it may also be within the heart. For example, Srila Prabhupada said, on our very first meeting, I accepted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta as my guru within my heart. although he didn't take formal initiation until some 10, 11 years later. But within his heart, he accepted him and thought that now the Krishna consciousness movement or the Gaudiya movement or the Chaitanya movement is in the hands of a very good sadhu. Prabhupada was very impressed. Srila Prabhupada, of course, received great inspiration from his father and gave a lot of credit to his spiritual advancement to his father. And one of the things his father did regularly was invite sadhus into his home. And although that is not such a well-known practice in Croatia or Yugoslavia or in other countries also, South America, America something is there because there are older devotees. And in the UK, other places. But it is a practice that one should invite, especially Vaishnavas, or invite holy persons into one's home and feed them and hear from them, satisfy them. Even if you're a householder, or even if you just you have a humble apartment where you're living, it's always good to felicitate, not facilitate, felicitate traveling preachers. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his pastimes are very wonderful. And we have read a lot about them, but in Chaitanya Bhagavat there are many, many intimate details, and Krishna Das Kaviraj mentions that both he and Lochan Das Thakur have simply written what, or expanded a little bit on what Vrindavan Das Thakur has written. So the real Vyasadeva of Chaitanya Lila is Vrindavan Das Thakur. Here's what Krishna Das Kaviraj says about the glories of Vrindavan Das Thakur. This is actually English poetry. But Krishna's life was written in the Bhagavat of Vyas. The Veda Vyas for Sri Chaitanya was Vrindavan Das. Vrindavan Das has called his book the Chaitanya Mangala. Whoever hears this book, no grave misfortune shall befall. Who reads it knows the glories of Chaitanya and Nitai, and knows what Krishna Bhakti is, and how it is, and why. His book contains the essence of the holy Bhagavat and shows what Krishna Bhakti is and what Bhakti is not. An atheist who hears the Thakur's words will soon relent and join the ranks of saintly men whose souls are heaven-sent. No ordinary man can sing of God as he has sung. The Lord himself has spoken through the Thakur's holy tongue. I bow a million times before the holy lotus feet of Sri Vrindavan Das, whose verses are so sweet. That one who reads them shall be freed from this dark mortal earth. I bow a million times before the place where he took birth. Anyway, in other places also Krishna Das Kaviraj has glorified Vrindavan Das Thakur. Just to give you an idea of some of the activities, as I said, I would have liked to have brought Chaitanya Bhagavat with me, but wasn't possible. So this is the contents of the book, and I'll give you an idea. The first chapter, as I said, is the glories of Lord Nityananda. We glorify our Guru and acknowledge that whatever we have achieved is by His mercy. We may have any number of talents, but if we fail to please the spiritual master, then Krishna won't be pleased. And if Krishna is not pleased, then we can't succeed. The spiritual master is not omniscient, nor is he the supreme controller. He's simply a kind of deity through which we give our devotion to Krishna. So just like if you did not dress your deities nicely and worship them nicely, Lord Krishna would not be in this temple. If you did not worship the holy name nicely, you can go on chanting Hare Krishna for many, many years and make no progress if you're not chanting properly, avoiding the 10 offenses. So in the same way, the spiritual master, the same rules apply. Then he describes the appearance of Lord Chaitanya's associates. We don't have any other reference, or any other better reference. There are some biographies, but the best reference is Chaitanya Bhagavat. Appearance of Gadadhar, appearance of Advaita, appearance of all of them. He describes Navadvipa, a great center of learning and a prosperous town. So why Bengal? And why Navadvipa? Why are we from Croatia, from Canada, or from Gujarat or Bombay? Why are we giving so much attention to Navadvipa? What is so special? Well, at that time, 500 years ago, the center of learning, you could say the Oxford of India, was Navadvipa. Bengalis, their nature is to be more scholarly type of people. We've heard of Sri Aurobindo, I believe, was he who won a Nobel Prize for poetry. And hardly any other Indians since that time have won such great praises. And usually those who do are scholars or Bengalis. They're certainly not businessmen and they're not sudras. And they're not even very good kshatriyas. But they do have a tendency to philosophy. So anyway, at that time, all the big scholars would come to Navadvipa for learning and for arguing, debating. The Kashmiri, Keshav Kashmiri, who was what they call a Digvijayi pundit, meaning a pundit who goes around and challenges others, like, you know, the World Wrestling Association, you know, guys going around and challenge match and grudge match, and, you know, well, this was something like that. This is more like, anyway, the Harlem Globetrotters used to go around. There's a description here. Dvaitacharya promises to cause the Lord's appearance. So we've heard from Chaitanya Bhagavat that Dvaitacharya sat on the bank of the Ganges and worshipped the Ganges with Ganges water. We've heard these things there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But it's much more elaborately described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra, they had 8 children. One was Vishwambar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the other was Vishwaroop. Vishwaroop took sannyas early, left home, never returned, and he died, left the world in Maharashtra. There's a story that he met one sadhu, one saint in Maharashtra at a very famous temple there, Pandharpur. He met, what's his name? Tukaram, Saint Tukaram. One of Lokanath's disciples, his name is Tukaram. So, but there were 8 daughters before Vishwaroop and Vishwambar appeared. There were 8 daughters, and they all died one after the other. So this explains the background behind those 8 daughters. Then the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, his early pastimes, the name-giving ceremony, how he got the name Vishwambar. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are many pastimes where he disturbed people. He wasn't a very, typical well-behaved child. He was very naughty, actually. So if you have a naughty child, wait a little while, see how he turns out. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would disturb the neighbors by doing all kinds of things, just as Krishna would go in the houses of the gopis and try to steal the butter. If they tried to stop him, he would urinate on the floor. He was a mischief. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had many pastimes like that. These are described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And then it is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita how 2 thieves tried to steal Nimai, or Vishwambar, his first name, Vishwambar, or Nimai also. So they tried to steal him from his home, and they took him away, and they got bewildered and brought him back home. They went in a full circle, and they actually got bewildered. And again, a brahmana comes to the house of Jagannath Mishra, and the family invites him to, as one does, invites him to cook. A brahmana, actually, it is said that the man is happy who cooks for himself. That man is happy who cooks for himself, And there are two other things, I forget what they are, but these three things in man. Well, I remember one of them was that he cooks for himself. I had a godbrother who used to, Hansadutta, he would always cook his own person. He was quite a good cook. He taught Bhakti Charu Maharaj also how to cook. So this Brahmana was asked to cook for the deities. He did so, and as he was making the offering, the members of the household, it was getting a little late, they took rest, and then Nimai appeared while he was offering to the Lord. Nimai appeared, went right up to the altar and started eating right off the Lord's plate. Now, you may have seen your child do that also, but it's probably not exactly like Nimai. So the Brahmana was a little upset, and the family requested him to cook again. Three times it happened. On the third occasion, Lord Chaitanya revealed his form of Radha and Krishna to the Brahmana, and the Brahmana was very ecstatic. And of course, Lord Chaitanya told him not to tell anyone, but obviously I'm telling you today because someone found out about it. Actually, Lord Chaitanya revealed his eight-armed form to the Brahmana. He talks about his education, and again he ate the offerings prepared by Jagadisha and Hiranya Pandit, another Leela. Nimai's pastimes of disturbing everyone at the Ganga. He would go and splash water on the Brahmanas who were meditating, saying their Gayatri. He would get them very angry. And then the young girls who were taking bath. Men are not supposed to go to the place where the women are bathing, but Nimai would go there and he would steal the clothes of the young girls. And yes. That's also very bad. But they liked Nimai, who was a handsome young boy, and also he was audacious, he was very bold. Somehow they liked him. And he said that if they didn't, you know, come to him, just like Krishna's pastime, that he would curse them, and if they did, he would bless them. So he blessed them. That they would all have eight children. If he cursed them, then they would have a husband who was 60 or 70 years old. But if he blessed them, that they would have a young husband and they would have 7-8 children. Of course, now if you tell that to a young lady, I bless you that you have 8 children, I think it's a curse. But in former days, it was a real blessing to have nice children. And it's actually a fact that in large families, the wife ends up having less to do because she organizes her children to take care of all her duties. And I've seen it in India. I have a godbrother who has 7 children. 2 godbrothers who have 7 children, actually. But the one that I met just recently, his whole family, the oldest daughter, she manages the rest of the other children. And 2 of the older sons take care of, you know, the worship, and they also help in the masses. And the wife is mostly out with her husband selling their... They make mozzarella cheese in India, high class, high quality. So, anyway, like that, there are many, many pastimes which are not there in other scriptures. And the thing about Chaitanya Bhagavat is that it is written in a very simple, easy to read format. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that he wanted all of his disciples to read Chaitanya Bhagavat 108 times. So that's certainly gives an idea of how important it is. I pulled out a few quotes from Chaitanya Bhagavat, which I feel are, there are two strong messages in Chaitanya Bhagavat. One is that one cannot advance in spiritual life unless he gets the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, who is Balaram, the original spiritual master. And the second is that if your aim is love of Godhead, beware of Vaishnava aparadha. So I have in Croatian also. Somebody can read them in Croatian and I'll read them in English. Or you can just read them out loud in Croatian. Is there anybody here who doesn't know Croatian?
Okay. Yeah, there is some.
Really? Oh, really? Okay. What's your language?
I'm
Portuguese.
Portuguese.
Okay. I know a little bit of Portuguese because I was in Brazil. Okay. So I'll read in English, and you can read in, no harm in hearing twice. These are quotes from Chaitanya Bhagavat. The Vaishnava devotees of the Lord are eternally pure and realized souls. Sometimes there are differences of opinion amongst them, which might appear like an argument. But in fact, it is an amazing relationship between devotees. Foolish rascals who do not understand this exchange praise one Vaishnava and denounce the other. Such a mentality will lead to destruction of faith and knowledge. Okay. Any person who sides with one Vaishnav against another Vaishnav and criticizes him is destined to be destroyed. If Vaishnavas are offended even by an assembly of renunciates, sannyasis, such an assembly is more irreligious than a group of drunkards. For the drunkards, there's still a chance of salvation. But for those who are critical of Vaishnavas, there's no hope for liberation. So, at one time, maybe a few years ago, but yeah, a year, at least a year or so ago, please excuse me for, maybe I'm wrong, but I did sort of notice that there were Vaishnavas, I'll use the word a little loosely, who were here at this temple, who came to the temple, and who criticized Vaishnavas, who criticized even up to the level of Srila Prabhupada. And it was not so, the atmosphere was a little tense, but I'm very happy and pleased that it appears like they're only, you know, Prabhupada Nugas here now. And pure devotees. That's my humble realization. And I'm very glad about that. Because people want to criticize, then let them go somewhere else. Why criticize? Prabhupada would always say, if you don't like, then you do better. Lord Chaitanya absorbed the sin of Jagai and Madai into his own body. He then said, begin kirtan. Then this black shroud of sin will lift from my body and enter the bodies of those who criticize the devotees of the Lord. Woo, heavy. One never advances in spiritual life by finding faults in other Vaishnavas. In fact, only sinful reactions are increased. So give up all your fault findings. To criticize and find faults in pure devotees of the Lord is the most grievous offense against the holy name. O holy name, how can you bear the criticism against your pure devotees through whom your glories have been propagated? You can never tolerate criticism against those who have dedicated their lives in propagating the holy name of the Lord. Such offenders are annihilated. Therefore, the conclusion is that having devotion is the foremost of all rules, regulations, and rituals. Rules and regulations are meant to be beneath or subservient and secondary to devotional service. Those who are dissatisfied with this arrangement fall down from the path of self-realization. Those devotees who are narrow-minded and bigoted start fighting over petty matters. This is a serious deviation from this path of spiritual realization. And so a really knowledgeable devotee will refrain from taking sides in such disputes. Now, I was in Los Angeles one time when Prabhupada was giving a lecture. And during the lecture, he said that this material world is simply a place of petty intrigue. You know that petty intrigue? You can petty intrigue. Small time fighting and party spirit. Intrigue, of course, means doing little politics. So petty means silly stuff. You know, somebody steals a gulab jamun from your plate and get very angry and tell the temple president petty stuff. So he said that during the lecture, and then after the lecture he got down from the vyasa and he was walking towards his quarters, which were upstairs, and then he stopped. He said, my Guru Maharaj was so right. Simply petty intrigue. Then he walked on a little bit farther, started to walk up the stairs. And then again he stopped and turned around. Many devotees were following him. And he said, he was so right. Simply petty intrigue. So there are people who take responsibility to keep everything organized properly. But we, as general devotees, we should simply try to preach Srila Prabhupada's philosophy and try to see the good in others as we hope they will see the good in us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. In that way, politics, intrigue, nobody is benefited. Even if you think that you have to protect yourself, just like there was a comic book, you know, comic book? It was a series of comics called Mad Magazine. Have you heard of that? Mad Comics? Yeah. Anybody heard of Mad? Who was the guy, the hero or whatever? Anyway.
It's not very well known.
Huh?
It's not very well known.
Okay. Anyway, part of the comic book was Spy versus Spy. And it was a comic book. It was a cartoon about how these two spies were always trying to outdo the other. It was really ridiculous. So, we don't want to be like that. We just want to be simple devotees, chant a little Hare Krishna, take a little prasad, raise a nice family, have some good friends, pass this life peacefully, and then remember Krishna and go back to Krishna. So stay out of... If someone wants to criticize someone in front of you, then you should say, oh, you're probably right. Let me call them up and ask them about it. And you'll find most often people say, no, don't call them. I didn't mean that. It's, you know. Let people take responsibility for their criticism. But don't you get involved. Those devotees who are narrow-minded, petty matters. The offense of criticizing the Lord or his devotees, even once, steals a man's proper intelligence. Lord Gaurasundar has invented specifically to deliver all the fallen souls, with the exception of those who find fault in Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. Krishna's come, Lord Chaitanya's come, to pick up everyone, to feed the problem, except for those who are Vaishnava aparadis. So there's many other quotes here. Again, the heading, if your aim is love of Godhead, if you want love of Godhead, that's your goal, then be very careful about Vaishnava Parada. Simple, but healthy instruction for all of us. So, once again, today is the Disappearance Festival of Vrindavan Das Thakur. He was the grand, he was the son of the niece of Srivas Thakur. And he wrote Chaitanya Bhagavat. He was considered the Vyasadeva of Chaitanya Leela, and he was a disciple of Nityananda Prabhu, and he was respected and glorified by all of the Vaishnavas, including Murari Gupta and Krishnadas Kaviraj and so many other great souls. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Yes.
Many times, and all the stuff is said that in the future, Vyasadeva will appear, and he will explain more with us. I'm confused. Vyasadeva changed the world. I was thinking about Krishna's coverage this morning.
Well, maybe he was talking about Prabhupada, I don't know. Definitely, all of the Vaishnavas at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just disappeared. Still, his associates had not left. They weren't leaving, but you know, it's not like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the temple, disappeared, and then everybody dropped dead. You know, they had to live out a certain period in their lives. So they were still around, but they all glorified Vrindavan Das Thakur and empowered him, encouraged him to write. So what he is talking about, that Vyasadeva will come, I don't know. Generally, it's a good idea not to speculate. If you don't know, just say you don't know. Or just like, for example, we don't know anything about Vrindavan Das Thakur's father. We could speculate, but not a good idea. We don't know anything about Narad Muni's father. He was the son of a maidservant. We don't know whether she was a widow or whether she was, you know, impregnated by some sage or somebody and actually had no father like that. We don't know. And best just to leave it unknown than to speculate. These are things, there are some essential things that we need to know, and we have enough information. There are other things, some of you may be very scholarly, some of you may be very simple and are satisfied just to chant Hare Krishna and wash the dishes for Krishna. Well, both persons can go back to Godhead. And even the person who washes dishes, just like in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's an elaborate description of Kolavecha Sridhar. Who was he? He wasn't a very big preacher. He wasn't a Sankirtan leader. He wasn't even wealthy. All of Srivas and his family, Advaitacharya, all of them were quite wealthy. They weren't poor. Kolavecha Sridhar, he sold leaf cups. He'd get the leaves off of trees, make a cup, and sell a few every day. And every day he would give 50% of whatever he earned, you know, the huge fortune that he earned. He'd give 50% for the service of Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu visited him, and he was very embarrassed because he had nothing to offer Mahaprabhu. Even water, he didn't want to give him water because all he had was a brass lota that was very old and had a hole in it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was more concerned with his bhakti than with external things. So he grabbed the lota, which Kolavecha was trying to, Kolavecha Sridhar was, Kolavecha means one who makes leaf cups. So he grabbed the lota from Sridhar and drank the water, and then he blessed Sridhar, embraced him, blessed him. So any one of us can make advancement by just being very simple. And if we need to know more, then Krishna will give us that knowledge. But as Vaishnavas, we're not trying, we're not proud of big scholarship. We do want scholars to defend our faith, just like the Vaishnavas were worshipping at the time of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The Muslims had taken over northern India, and the deity of Govindaji had been moved from Vrindavan to Jaipur. So the king of Jaipur, who in his youth, his father was assigned to protect the road from Agra to Vrindavan for pilgrims who would come to Vrindavan. So he would have his son come with him many times, and his son saw Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, and he became a staunch devotee of Radha and Krishna right from his early childhood. And although he was a king, but he was also very scholarly. But at that time, in Rajasthan, there was a strong influence of Ramanuja, and the followers of Ramanuja in Rajasthan were known as Ramanandis. They were following a devotee of Ramanuja, who was a devotee of Lord Ram, although he claimed to be in the line of Ramanuja, but he actually, instead of worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, he worshipped Ramchandra, Sitaram. So these Ramanandis had a lot of influence with the people. And when they saw Govindaji come to Jaipur, they became worried that if the Vaishnava, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, if they became influential, then the Ramanandis would lose political influence. So they tried in every way to discredit the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and they quoted from the Padma Purana, where it is stated that there will be four Vaishnava Sampradayas, so Rudra Sampradaya, Lakshmi Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya, and Kumara Sampradaya, four Acharyas, Ramanuja, Nimbarka, Madhva, and Vishnu Swami. So they said this Gaudiya Sampradaya is a concoction. It's not authorized. Similarly, since the time of Shankaracharya, who wrote Sharirak Bhasya, which is a very elaborate commentary on Vedanta Sutra, after him, Madhva, Ramanuja, Nimbarka, and Vishnu Swami, they all wrote commentaries on Vedanta Sutra, explaining that God, that we are not one with God, as Shankaracharya claims. We're not equal to God in every way, but that there are two souls, the Atma and Paramatma, Jiva and Bhagavan. So the Ramanandis Ramananis were saying, these Gaudiyas, they don't, how can they even be authorized? They don't have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So, Baladev Vidyabhushana, he was from Orissa. Interestingly enough, there's a strong indication that our line comes from Orissa. Many of us think about Bengal, and of course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did take birth in Navadvip, in Mayapur. But his father was Jagannath Mishra, Jagannath Mishra, which is a common Odia name, Orissa name, and his uncle Nilambar Chakravarti, his tree, genealogical tree, goes back to Orissa. And many of our acharyas, including Srinivas Acharya, was from Orissa, and Sridhar Swami, the original commentator, was from Orissa, many others. Anyway, Baladev was from Orissa, but he ended up in South India, and he studied in Udupi, in a Madhwa mutt. And he was brilliant. And he regularly debated. He learned the philosophy. He regularly debated. The Madhvas are probably the most expert in Sanskrit and debating. They regularly debate with the Shankarites, and regularly they defeat them, or very seldom that you hear of them being defeated. Either it's a 1-1 draw or they're victorious. So he was trained in that line as a Madhva scholar, following the commentary of Madhvacharya. But the commentary of Madhvacharya did not allow for or encourage the worship of Radharani. And there were other things which the Madhvas and the Gaudiyas, there were differences. So when the Ramanandis tried to influence the king to take Radharani off the altar, there was a temple of Radha Govinda, and they said, this is offensive that Radharani should be on the same altar with Krishna. They wanted to take Radharani off the altar, and even they objected to the fact that the Gaudiyas did not worship Narayan first before worshiping anyone else, because that was the standard of Ramanuja, followers of Ramanuja. So this boy, Baladev, he was sent by his spiritual master to study under Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And he became the best student, brilliant student. And Vishwanath knew about the battle going on in Jaipur. And at one point the Ramanandis actually influenced the king. He had to, although he, in his heart, he wanted to worship Radha Krishna. He was attracted. But politically he could not refuse the Ramanandis, so he told the Gaudiyas that you must counter their arguments or I'll have to remove Radharani. And he actually did remove Radharani from the altar for some time. And Vishwanath was keeping in touch with the pandits, the pujaris of the Gaudiya temples in Jaipur. So he sent Baladev there, who was a young boy, young sannyasi, and he was not known to anyone. So he went there, and in the court, he even had trouble getting an audience with the king because he was just unknown. So finally he met the king, and the Ramanandis were there, and they heard about this boy coming as a representative of Vishwanath, so they thought they could easily defeat him. But then they said that no one can argue on Vedanta Sutra unless they follow the teachings of Madhva. So then Baladev revealed that he had been initiated and trained in a Madhva school. Actually, it's interesting. An interesting point here is that Baladev was initiated in the Madhva Sampradaya, but later on he had a ceremony performed by Vishwanath Chakravarti, I believe, whereby he was not exactly initiated, he wasn't reinitiated or anything, but it was just a kind of promise, a sankalpa, that he would follow the teachings and preach the teachings of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So anyway, he came there and he revealed that he was actually a disciple of one Tirtha of the Madhva Sampradaya, and he could easily debate from the line of Madhva, but he would rather introduce the Gaudiya commentary. So the Ramanandis, Baladev asked for time. He said, just give me a little time and I'll write one. They were shocked because you don't just, you know, sit down one afternoon and write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. It takes even years to do. So they were shocked that he had said that I'll write one, just give me a little time. But they were afraid there was something special about this young sannyasi, and before they could refuse, the king agreed, all right, you take a little time and then come back. So he took about a month and a half, and he prayed to Govindaji, and then he just began writing, and non-stop he wrote. Stopped only for a little food, a little rest, very little, a few hours a day, and he just went on writing. And he used many of the arguments of Madhva, but he explained in chapter 3 and chapter 4 of his Tika, his commentary, the differences and why Gaudiyas do what they do, why they worship Radharani, why they don't go directly to Narayan, but they go directly to Radhakrishna. And his arguments were so powerful that the Ramanandis had no rebuttal. They couldn't argue with him. And the king also immediately decided that Baladev had won the debate, and he put Radharani back on the altar. So we need our scholars to argue with the bogus Anandis, and whoever they may be. There's lots of them in the world today. We do need scholarly devotees. But not everybody has to be a scholar. If you're not attracted to that, you can be a good sudra for Krishna, or a Vaishya for Krishna, or a Kshatriya for Krishna. But don't commit Vaishnava aparadha. That's all. All right. Thank you very much. And, well, we're having satsang, or what do we call, namahatta, at Sudama's satsang kendra on Kirka. You've heard of Navadvipa, this is Navakirka. And it's on Wednesday. And Thursday we're going to Pula. two disciples there. And then Friday we're going to, or Saturday, we'll be back in Kirkland. Friday and Saturday we're going to split. And then Zagreb and back to Ljubljana. So I probably will see you again for some time. But it's very nice to see all of your nice, bright, shining faces. And thank you very much for your service to Srila Prabhupada. It brings me great satisfaction to see you here year after year, serving nicely. Very steady, staunch devotees. Thank you very, very much. I do appreciate your devotion. Hare Krishna.